What would you do if you had everything that you wanted? It's Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. What would you do if you had everything that you wanted? Now, I have been working with feeding my dogs, my dog, and I would buy the proper foods for him and give him the proper amount of food, and still he always seemed to put on weight, seemed to get a little huskier and huskier. And then we gave him a haircut and weighed him, and he was in range. And we didn't really know he was in range because he had a big fluffy coat. So I was reading in a book the other night, and it said that dogs have a intuitive sense in them that says they've got to eat, and if they don't eat, they'll die. And so whenever they can get food, they eat, and they gorge, like a lion, you know. A lion will eat a whole animal and then relax for a month, you know. And a snake. A snake will take in a mouse or a squirrel or something and take the whole thing right inside. They unhinge their mouth to open it up and let the whole thing go in. And then they go under a rock and they sit there for a month or two, and sometimes a year, depending upon the size of the quarry they got, and digest it and eat that food and just let their body process it in the proper way. And their body is a rather intelligent thing. It processes the things, processes the meat and the body of an animal, and disposes of the bile and other toxic items within the body without even touching the skin of the bile ducts or the bile gland, you know. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Really quite amazing. Well, the article said that if you feed a dog all that it can eat, if it's always available, if its food dish is always full, it will not feel panicky about eating. It will eat what pleases it, and then it'll go away, because it knows that food dish is always there. And so it's not worried about it. It's just like the water dish. It's always there. You don't tell the dog, now here's a glass of water for you, and you can only drink that glass of water for the next 8 hours, you know. You give him whatever water he wants and let him make the determination of how he drinks it. Well, the book said put out a full portion of food, you know, serve it in a large dish, overwhelming, and leave it 24 hours a day. And at first the dog might scarf the bowl down, you know, but Rex didn't. I put it out for Rex. And I let him have whatever he wanted. And I didn't watch him particularly, I just was aware. And he would go over to the bowl, he'd go over to his feeder, and the food would be right there. He'd look at the food and he'd look at me, and he'd say, is this really Christmas time? And I said, yes, Rex, from now on, it's Christmas time all the time. And so he would take a couple bites of his dry food, and then he would amble outside and go to his water bowl and drink a couple of slips of water, maybe three or four. And then he'd come back in and try a few more pieces of food. He was in no rush. There was no problem. Before, he would clean his bowl thoroughly and get every last bit off of it. He'd wash the bowl with his tongue and get every bit of goodness off of it. Then he'd go out and drink. Now, he just takes a little, enjoys it. And like a dowager, like a king, he goes outside. Rex means king, you know. And he'd go outside and he would drink his water and then lay there for a while and then say, I think I'll have another bite, you know. And then he'd go in and get another bite or two. No rush. Now, he's going to have this opportunity for a while, maybe permanently. And if everything works out as it starts out like working out, we'll keep it up. But then I won't ever have to be concerned about feeding him, because he'll always be fed up. He will have eaten what pleased him, and then he'll go and do something else. Today, he was laying on my bed with his nose hanging over the edge of my bed, and right under his nose was the dish of food, and didn't disturb him one little bit. before, if I would get his dish ready for food, I'd put it in the dish, and he would immediately run outside. There was some reason that he had to go outside. And then he'd wait out there a reasonable time while I filled his dish, and then he'd come in just as I set his dish on the floor. And so I'd give him a big hug as I'd set his dish on the floor, and he said, okay, that's right, I'll wait a moment. And then he took the big hug, and then after that, then he started to work on his dish. But now, it's a whole new routine. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this, because he is no longer thinking that if he doesn't eat, he'll die. No longer has he got that instinctual urge within them. And that urge is in all mammals, and perhaps other animals too. But we have only studied mammals, and so that's all that we know. But how about you? Are you instinctually to eat? Or can you be like Dodie? Dodie's I like to say bird, but she's certainly not a bird. A bird eats more than its own weight. But Dodie comes to the table, Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman, and she sits at the table, and she takes her knife, and she cuts up a pea. She cuts up a bean, and then eats the bean portion by portion. Now, she can maybe make 4 slices out of a bean, you know, a kidney bean, you know, a little old bean. And she'll take a tomato, and I think she would cut the seeds in the tomato if she could hold it still, you know. But she just loves to do that. This is part of her program of eating. And she doesn't eat much, but what she eats is totally satisfying. And then what I am most amused at is when none of us are looking, we're all paying attention to something else. She sits there and she wolfs down the food on the table like something great. It's just a delight to watch her when you're not watching her, you know. Because if you're not watching her, she just really likes to eat. But if you're watching her, she is the most dainty, delicate, careful person that you could ever imagine. It's quite a lesson to me. And I enjoyed watching it and enjoyed seeing it happening. And I did my very utmost to turn my back on her as often as I could so she could enjoy eating in the more rapid way that got body into her food. But amazing, amazing. And also about her, when she lives alone, she ate virtually nothing. She'd have maybe 3 or 4 types of foods that she would eat, and that's all. And I don't remember what they were, but and they were nothing much, really.
A very thin vegetable bean soup.
A very thin vegetable bean soup. Yeah.
That was her staple.
That was her staple. And she would have 1/4 cup of that at a meal or something. And you wondered how she ever survived on that. Well, I have a feeling that what we probably didn't realize, and she cleaned it up before we could realize it, that under her mattress she probably had her box of crackers and cookies and other things. Yeah, because the only reason we got to know so much about her was that she went to the hospital and we had to clean up her apartment for her. And in cleaning up her apartment, we asked her permission if we could throw things out. And she said yes. But I'm sure she would rather have said no, because she liked living in the variety of things that she had. It was just a wonderful thing. Well, now, dogs are like that. Rex will take his head and lay it on his toys, in his toy box, and just look around and just sort of soak up the good feeling of each of the toys in his toy box, because he found it so. And he was in the swimming pool yesterday, and in the swimming pool, he would lay his head on the edge of the pool, and he'd look around and just sort of, he was underwater himself, his body, nice and cool water, and he'd look around. And then Anita came along, and he lifted up his head and looked at her, and she gently took water and put it on her hands and stroked his face and stroked down him. And he said, oh, you can continue forever. And so happy. But then after she was done, then he laid his head down on the edge of the pool again and surveyed everything and possessed everything by his presence. Now, you see, animals can be trained to think that they got to eat what they get, or else they're not going to get anything. Or they can have the dry food as I give them, and eat it when they're ready, and otherwise just go about their life and do whatever they want to do. We have lived in a society and in a world of panic so long, where we feel that we have to eat. And children who are raised in a boarding house type of home, where there are 5, 6, 10 children, one more or less, even with only a couple, what's the biggest argument that takes place around the table? What's the biggest argument that takes place around the table, especially when a cake is served? What's the biggest argument? Anybody know?
Who gets the biggest piece?
Who gets the biggest piece? Well, now, what does mother do, who is so wise as Solomon? She says, you cut, you serve. You know? So the person who cuts doesn't have a chance to say, this is my piece. I take this half the cake, and the rest of you six people cut the other half the cake in six pieces. But you see, we have that feeling within us, that panicky feeling within us, that if we don't get it and don't eat it, we'll never have it. And we've had this from childhood on. We've had this from whenever, you know. Wah, wah, I want my food. And if your mother was dutiful and she was at your side immediately feeding you, you never worried about it. But if you had to holler for a long, 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 long time on an empty stomach, you soon develop that attitude of panic. And when you develop that attitude of panic, what happens? Then you want to eat everything that's in sight. Now, this is what dogs have done. Now, Rex learned quickly that he never had to worry. He knew he never had to worry. He knew he could put his head on my lap and that I would always be able to give him some little treat. Now, even with all the food he can eat, he still likes treats. And that's nice. But he doesn't really want a treat of something to eat. He'll enjoy that, and that's a simple way to give a treat. But what does he want?
Attention.
He wants attention. He wants attention. Now, when you hug him and you snuggle him, he stands there and lets you do that. And then, if a cat went by, or if anything went by to capture his attention, boop, he'd be gone. You know, he'd forget you in a flash. I mean, you know, you're yesterday's newspaper. You're not interesting at all. And so he's off like a flash. But it's not because he doesn't love you. It's just that you are not the latest challenge that faced his attention, you know. And your children are like that too. They come to the table and they eat, and perhaps not well, but you make it a difficult challenge for them. Would you like to know the history of courses? Courses of food are served. And this started out in the early families. The parents attempted to get the children to eat foods that were good for them. So first they would serve them only the foods that were good for them. Only the foods that they wanted to get down their gullet so that they would have the energy that food would bring to them. And so the children would eat or not. And if the children didn't eat the food that they were given first, they wouldn't get the food they'd get second. So all the children who cleaned their plates, they got a steak. You know, they got a bone. They got the other goodies. They got the chocolate pie and chocolate cake, you know. They got the desserts. But if you didn't clean your plate, you didn't get it. Now, soon, it didn't bother the parents. They're used to raising their children. They've had 5 or 6 already, you know. And they're used to raising the children and realizing the children are going to put up a fuss sometimes. But when all the children realize that you eat your veggies first, and then you go on to the other stuff. If they all realize that, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so Rex, realizing now that the food is always there, he doesn't race to it or rush to it or anything. He just ambles over there as though he's got all the time in the world, because this is his house, this is his world, this is his food. and he is just fantastic. Every morning he's got a ritual now. I'm shaving in the bathroom. He comes in. Before, he didn't like the sound of the razor. He didn't like the sound of noises. But now he comes in knowing that I'm shaving, knowing that I'm in front of the sink, and he puts his head up on the counter, and he says, "Gee, Dad, you're beautiful. It's nice to watch. You're the most handsome man in the world. Dad, I love you. Dad, I'm sure that the rest of the world realizes just what a wonderful person you are." And, you know, I make up all sorts of stories of what he's thinking. And for me, that's what he's thinking. And that's my dog, you know. And he's really great. And I love him. And I'm happy to share him with you after my time. And you're welcome to have him after I take my first walks with him, because he's still got a lot of loving in him. And he'll come up to you and say, "Oh, Sylvia, you're so gorgeous." And Sylvia will say, Rex, say it again. But this is what our children are all about. If we call them beautiful, you can be sure they will see that reflection in us, of the beauty we see in them. And so, really, training a dog to eat when he wants to, eat when he's hungry, and not get fat. We'll watch him carefully as he eats, but I know already it's going to be just fine, because he's just doing great. And I think that's the way it should be. Now, Ingeborg raises cats. She doesn't tell us how she does it, but she raises cats. So she goes out there and puts the cat food out for the cats. The cats will come over to the cat food, and they'll eat dainty-like, maybe a third of the bowl or something like that. Then they go away. Then they run out in the field and catch a mouse or other things, you know. And sometimes they'll bring home something larger, and they'll try to get it in their doggy door, the kitty door that they have. And but from the food that she gives them, the food that she buys, they eat just a little bit. And they really don't care. They have had enough of that high quality food. Now they want something that's fun. Now they want the dessert, to catch a mouse or whatever. And this is beautiful. So remember that for yourself. First, eat the foods that are less attractive, and then go on. And I will read you the article that I read in this book. And it said, Europeans serve their salad later in the meal, not because they serve the salad later in the meal, but because if the salad is eaten earlier in the meal, the salad is made up of empty substances, you know, which you eat the celery and the carrots and stuff, you know, and this immediately starts the juices of the stomach to going to digest. And by the time the meat or the heavy-duty courses are that you really want to digest, your stomach stops producing the juices. And because it stops producing the juices, the food goes through undigested and not beneficial to you. And so the Europeans eat their meat and potatoes type of things, or pasta and what have you, first, so that the digestive juices of the body can digest the foods. And then later, they eat the salads and other things, because they do not take anything to digest them, because there's nothing to digest. The salads themselves are basically roughage, and good roughage, and beneficial and desirable, but they do not need to be digested, because basically you're not going to digest what's in a salad, unless you make yourself a juice out of it or something of that nature. So just a little thought that I picked up in passing, and I'll share more with you as I run across these things, because I know wisdom has its one purpose, and that is not to be known, but to be shared.
Oh.
And so I'll share it with you. Have a lovely day. And remember that in these 20 minutes, we have shared some very wonderful things about my dog Rex and me. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.